As I sat there in our service this morning, it occurred to me, a few things occurred to me. We like our spot in our pews, don't we? We have our spot. Brenda, so you know, your spot is actually still open for you. It's kind of a sacred place back there, I guess, right? Everybody's got their spot. Another thing, if as you worship around the country, you ever seen your songbook holders that have little cup holders with it? For the first time in my life, I've seen a use for those today. We could actually use that. That occurred to me. When it comes to history and our studies in general, the idea of leadership has been a concept in my mind that has been in the forefront in some ways, and we've had some lessons that dealt with that, and we look at it from a Bible perspective, and this kind of fits into that same category when we talk about women and their role and abilities, and being Mother's Day. The saying, the one who rocks the cradle rules the world, and there's a lot of truth in that. We look at teachers in particular and how much influence they have on society. So today's lesson, I want to take a look at the worthy woman of Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, the woman of worth, as I've titled the lesson. In my study this time, there's been some, I guess what some people call aha moments. I'm like, oh, I didn't notice that, or I didn't recognize that. And as was typical, what I've been trying to do lately in my studies is not just to get buried so much in words, because we're going to talk about some specific words as we go through our lesson today, but also look back and what is the text actually saying? When we get past some of the detailed definition of words, what is the passage actually telling us here? This passage is about, and we've probably heard many titles of this, the worth of a woman, a worthy woman, and maybe some other titles that come into play. And you might remember this really ties in closely to the lesson we did about Ruth. Ruth was a woman of worth as well. And some of the material here is going to kind of rehearse what we talked about there as we look at women of worth. So I encourage you to have your Bibles out. We're going to be in Proverbs 31. Proverbs chapter 31. And in the end, we will read all of this. So I want to, first of all, I guess the first 9 verses of Proverbs 31, let me back up a second. Let's use a passage here for our scripture reading here. As far as setting the context for the lesson. In Proverbs 31, verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And that introduces in many ways the sum of what we're talking about here. A virtuous woman or a worthy woman, her price is far above rubies. So what is this text? It is a text in Proverbs. If you're like me, I think Proverbs, I think Solomon. Well, that's not absolutely right. Some of these texts are not written by Solomon himself. But here in chapter 31, verse 1, it says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So as an introduction to the book here, the chapter, this is the prophecy that King Lemuel was taught by his mother. I never recognized that before in my studies. It's not been noted in lessons before, or I wasn't listening. I'm not sure which case. I'll let you make that decision if you want to judge that. I either wasn't listening or I didn't. We don't talk about it. But this is the prophecy that his mother taught him. And we think about the worth of a woman, and we think about a king. That adds context for this. This is a woman's words to the king, and it's not a woman's words. It's her prophecy. I don't know about you, but I don't often think of prophetesses, if I say that right, in the Old Testament, women prophets. We don't think about that a lot, do we? There were some. This would be one of them. It's the prophecy that his mother taught him. And so we see this idea of a mother to a son. In the first 9 verses, I don't always and did not always attribute to the main text of a worthy woman. Yet it's appropriately so, because that's what her words are. It's all of these words. So let's take a look at the rest, or some of these rest, the beginning of the chapter here. And start in verse 2. I'm not going to read the entire, all 9 verses of this part, but let's read this. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 2 now. What, my son? And what the son of my womb? And what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroys kings. So we're talking about wisdom, a woman conveying wisdom to her son, teaching her son for prophecy of God. Give not your strength to women. This is interesting because we're going to talk about the next section, or the worthy woman. Give not your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor the princes to drink strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and they pervert the judgment of any that are afflicted. And so there's the introduction to this. And I'm going to skip a couple of verses here. And then in verse 9, it says, open thy mouth and judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. So her words of instruction, don't give your strength to women. Don't drink wine or strong drink. And don't forget judgment. Be just in your judgment and care for the cause of the poor and needy, in particular, verse 29 there. So of many men and kings of the world and of the Bible, what are their failures? We've seen, and we're not assigning, the problem is not the women, the problem was the men here, so don't take this the wrong way. But women have brought down many men, and men have allowed women to bring them down. King Solomon is probably the biggest example in the Bible, isn't it? Women took his heart from God. Alcohol and things of that nature bring down men. Injustice brings down men. That's not maybe not have made our list, but the king's mother brought that in the picture here. Justice or injustice has brought down kings. So her words of warning. And I know as we men talk about women, we're highly qualified. So I got here the book on women. We've seen this, right? Other memes associated with it. What book does it take to write about women? For us men, it would be, we might could fill a page with what we know about women, right? A man could not write a book about women. God can, though, and God has. And all funny and kidding aside, and the jokes about a society and how we interact, I guess I got to read a book. Maybe some of you have read it. Maybe give me the highlights. Men are from Mars, women are for Venus. I get that backwards. I've not read it. Maybe some of you read it. Fill me in on that, please. We're different. But God has given us instruction here, and some valuable instructions, I believe, on understanding women, understanding, in this case, in particular, the context is the king and women. And we're going to learn, I think, some great things on this day, in particular, that we devote to our mothers. And so we're talking about those things, and our Proverbs writer here has preserved this for us, or written this for us. And our first item here, so I organize this the way that I use the terms I think these sections of Scripture bring out. First of all, women are of great value. Value women, King Lemuel. Who can find a virtuous woman? How valuable is she? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does trustly, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So I'll put that out as a section of point here. She's of great value. And in particular, it says of rubies. Well, let's talk about this word virtue first. I didn't want to talk about virtue first. In the Hebrew, this word, if you remember, we talked about this with Ruth a little bit. The word actually means of strength, of might, or great wealth. There's four times it's used, and it's titled virtue, which to me, virtue is kind of a vague term. Virtue is not a real defined term. It can mean any kind of goodness and godliness. The four times it's translated virtues is with women. It's associated with Ruth and with a woman here in Proverbs 31. This word truly means strength or might. Truly means strength or might. So it's used 181 times of physical strength. And then 20 times of great wealth. But then the four times it used of women is strictly, it's used as virtue. I'm showing that to say that we really should look at this word as of strength, of might. And we're going to see that this the writer here of this text has used terms that describe a woman of strength, a woman of might. And so we see as we define that particular word, I want to make sure we made a point of that one. As we continue to look, what is her price? What is her value? Of more than precious jewels, verse 10. Her price is far above rubies. The idea of being precious jewels. What does a king inherently, it seems, and at least the history do? He amasses wealth for himself, right? He takes all the gold he can find. Saul took all the great warriors. He wants strength. He wants wealth. The mule's mom is telling him women are of great value. A woman, a virtuous woman, a strong and mighty woman is of great value. Her husband trusts her. The King James says safely trust her. The idea is he can leave to her the things for her to take care of. He can trust her with those things. King Lemuel, you can trust your wife, the worthy woman, to do things. You're a king, and we're going to see some things that relate to husband in this situation. But her husband trusts her, this worthy woman. He put confidence in her and trust her, securing her. And the wording of the King James is kind of odd here when it says, let me get to the verse, so that he shall have no need of spoil. That's kind of an odd terminology. I think the idea behind it, certainly according to commentators, there's no lack of gain. You can safely trust her, there'll be no lack of gain. In other words, she's capable, she's qualified, she's worthy, she's of great value. Her husband can trust her. And she does him good. The worthy woman does her husband good all the days of his life, as the text sees. She does not do him wrong, does not do him harm, but she does him well. She does him well. And so the mom of this king is letting him know, your wife and women are of value. Don't give your strength to them. And we're started out with that. We're going to tie this together at the end. But she is of great value. My son, remember this is the words of the mom, she is of great value. And so she's putting this, emphasizing with him that her value is far above riches, far above jewels, and that she is of great worth. You can trust in her. You can have confidence in her. Respect her, honor her, is what the mom of the king is saying here. Respect her, honor her. Well, as we continue, here's this idea of great strength. And I think as we read this, we see why the virtuous woman really could be the mighty woman or the strong woman. And this text, this section of text, brings us out as much as anything. Verse 13 through 20. Notice this worthy woman, this mighty woman, this strong woman. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like a merchant ship. She brings food from afar. She arises while it was night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives her merchandise is good. Her candle goes out, not out by night. She lays her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. This woman, the worthy woman, of great might and of great strength, as the writer here says, as she's instructing her son, the prophecy that she told her son, women are of great strength. Don't give your strength to women. Women are of great strength. And so we see the idea of her strength here. First of all, she works willingly. She works with pleasure. With delight is the idea behind that. We see intellect in this worthy woman, this mighty woman. She considers a field and buys it. And for a farming culture, and certainly this is the relationship of a king, it's not going to be farming so much, but this woman, something that is of value to and is so important to a household She considers a field and buys it, and she plants a field. She's of great might and strength. She is of great perception and intellect. She perceives her merchandise as good. It shows wisdom and expertise and knowledge in this. She is of great strength. And it applies it directly to physical work. Mentions her arms. She works with her arms and her hands. Talks about the strength of her arms. She girds up her loins. In other words, she pulls up her pants, as men would say, right? She's a worker. She's strong. And I didn't click through the slides here. Sorry, kiddos. Are you following along? She works willingly. Delights in work. She has great intellect and intelligence and wisdom. Doing physical work even physical work. This is the mighty and strong woman of Proverbs 31. A woman of virtue, as we define of strength, a woman of might. A woman of might. And I know we rarely work in farms today as they did in that time. We certainly have mechanized equipment, and farm labor is hard labor. Even today, farming is hard labor, but even more so back then. And if we remember, we made the correlations with Ruth. Ruth went around and harvested the grain for her and Naomi. She went around to all the fields, or not all the fields, but to those fields and collected grain and work. So we see that ties in here. A woman of virtue, a woman of great strength. I also think we see here, as we look to this text, a woman of great character. We can't leave and would not leave and from a godliness perspective, just focus on strength itself, because character comes into play. And she is clothed with strong character, I believe is the way we could say that. So let's read verse 21 through 27 now. Look at verse 21 through 27. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. She looks well in the ways of her household, and eats not the bread of idleness. She is of great character. And so as I looked at this, I thought, well, first of all, let's get the husband out of the way. What does the husband do in this picture here? It says he sits at the gate. The husband is also a strong character. He is known at the gate. He sits among the elders of the land. Now, the idea behind that is not that he just sits there and reclines in a chair and watches people walk by. That was the job of the day. He was actually there working. They would perform judgments from there. They didn't have a court, as it were, where you stood before a court. This is what happened. And so he was one of the elders is what's portrayed there. He wasn't just sitting around not doing anything. This was his work. So her husband is of strong character. And also, she is clothed with strong character. So the idea of clothing is brought out here, but she's not clothed with just high-quality clothing. But it does point this out. That talks about what she makes. First of all, verse 21, her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry, of silk, and purple. And so in verse 24, she makes fine linen and sells it. And so we see her, though she has all this great clothing, she is clothed with something more than what the external is. She's clothed with something more than the superficial. She's clothed with great character. What is this character? She is not fearful, but rejoicing. She's not afraid of the snow, but she rejoices in the day to come. And you have to look forward a couple of verses to pick up the rejoicing piece in verse 25. She shall rejoice in the time to come. In verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. So she's not fearful, but she's rejoicing. She's rejoicing. Strength and honor are her clothing. She is of great character, this worthy woman, the woman of might, the woman of strength. King Lemuel's mom telling her, the woman of great strength, the woman of honor, the virtuous woman is clothed with great character. And she's clothed with strength and honor. Shows an idea of someone who is not weak and feeble character, but of strong character. And she is that. Even her speech is of strong character, full of wisdom, full of kindness. And we see that even expressed in her household, as she cares for and looks after the ways of her household. Her speech is full of wisdom and kindness. And so we see there also she has concern over her household. And so much so, and he closes out that in verse 27, she does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not idle. Once again, we're tying this in to being strong and mighty. She is not idle. And we see that. We see that as we go through and look and study and read through about this worthy woman, the woman that Lemuel's mom is telling him about. She is strong. She's mighty. She is not idle. She is of great character. She is of great character. Finally, as we talk about this worthy woman, this mighty woman, she is praiseworthy. She is praiseworthy. Verse 28 through 31. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. This woman of great worth, this woman of might, woman of strength, the woman that King Lemuel's mom is telling him about by prophecy, is praiseworthy by her children and by her husband. Probably not enough praise given, women, and this is our day we have set aside to honor them, honor our mothers in particular. This woman of great value, as King Lemuel is taught, is praiseworthy by her children and by her husband. But notice a big point here that's not necessarily brought out so strongly as we study through this, that she fears the Lord. It's not just a woman of the world as a great strength. It's not just a woman of the world who has worldly views and worldly ideology. This is a woman of God. This woman who respects God and lives a godly life. She fears the Lord. This is not a woman in rebellious to God. And as we talk about women that may have been a part of a man's downfall, we was talking on the way in this morning. It reminds us a little bit of Samson and Delilah. How Samson gave his strength to Delilah, and Samson was brought down. But this woman fears the Lord. She fears the Lord. And her works praise her. The works of her hand, her own works praise her. People see the results of her hand. They see her handiwork. They see, we talked about, she bought land and she planted a field. All her goods that she made, all the preparation she made, the care of the needy and her household, all these things brought praise to her. She is worthy, King Lemuel. She is worthy. She is worthy. So as we look at this and see the details of what's given of the worthy woman here, her great strength, her great might, understanding women, probably something maybe we haven't studied enough. But notice how it starts out. Don't give your strength to women. And I thought about the lesson and application of this. King Lemuel, don't give your strength to women. Why? Well, not why, but do this. Cherish her great value. Cherish her great strength. Cherish her great character. She is worthy. She is worthy of praise. The woman of virtue, the woman of strength, the woman, as we noted there at the end, who feared God. So realizing this is a prophecy given to King Lemuel's mother, as a mother trusts and is a teaching and instructing her son, who's a king, respect women. Respect your wife, in essence. She is worthy. Respect her, value her, even the point of nurture and develop her. Put her in a situation where she can grow And she can be this kind of woman. And, you know, as I looked at it and I sat back, is she given instructions on how to become a worthy woman? Is she given instruction on this is what a worthy woman looks like when you go out in the world? This is what you want to find? Or is he telling her, or is this his mom saying, you know, you have a wife, look at this worthy woman that your wife can be this. Any of the three, I guess, would fit. But what great lessons for us. On this day we honor women, such a great lesson for us to realize. Respect and value her. Nurture her. And help her develop into this worthy woman that she can be. And thankful so much for the women of the world, as we all should be in their place and what they've done to our society to help us and to help us in our families and raising our kids and our children in their life. We are certainly thankful. As we talked about this and we talk about the worthy woman, there was one worthy of praise above all other, and that's our Savior. Are you a Christian? God gives us the instructions to help us understand what's right in this life. That's why we can look at this worthy woman and know that it's a prophecy of God. And look at the context it was given of a mother to a son who was a king, how we should respect women. Do we respect our God? Do we respect our Savior? As we sang one of our songs this morning, it talked about having faith in Jesus, believing in Him. Jesus gave us a very simple plan of salvation. Or he fulfilled that. God gave it, I guess. He fulfilled a plan of salvation that summarized, if you believe in Him and through that belief you obey His command of baptism, you can have your sins washed away. Never be remembered again. And once you become in that covenant relationship with God, if you wish to, or you fail and stumble on the way, and you wish to make things right with God, He gave a very simple pattern again. We can go directly to Him in prayer. What a great blessing to have these truths from God, to know what's right and know how to live our lives. Truly, God's pattern for righteousness and righteous living is the best way to live our lives. We should seek to follow that. So if you're subject to our invitation's call this morning, we give you a chance now to make those things known by coming forward as we stand and as we sing.